And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's right. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I'm talking about this show. Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, before we jump into Butters and Lee, I got to tell you, my Walton's Lunchbox has generated some sympathy and some hoots. Keith from Parts Unknown says, Walton's Lunchbox, that's rough. I had the A-team. See? Well, there you go.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, I know it. I know it. That was a good show. Yeah, so I became an Airborne Ranger to get over my Walton's Lunchbox. There you go. It's legit. All right.
So it worked.
You got some whoop-whoops ready, because this is the time of the week that we like to do a thing that we call Butters and Lee. Nice. And on the phone with us right now, you've already heard Butters' smoothie, silky voice. But on the phone with us right now is her awesomeness herself, Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm good. And I have a little house on the prairie lunchbox.
Well, see, but you're a chick, so that's okay. Silence?
Well, okay. I mean, that's true. I have a dad / mom joke for you.
Oh, go ahead. What you got?
Where do cats learn how to swim?
Where do cats learn how to swim?
Yes.
I don't know where.
The kiddie pool.
Stop it. Stop it right now. Stop it.
Pete is coming for you.
All right, you guys. Listen, let's do some Butters and Lee. Y'all know how this works. I ask y'all questions, and we just see what your thoughts are. You guys are amazing in your own right. So let me just throw the first one out there. This one's serious business. Serious business. Right here in Alabama, we have, you know, any number of economic development opportunities. We are seen as a manufacturing, you know, base for the Southeast United States. We have the ports, we have the rail, we have the interstate access, we have all the things necessary. And yet, we're also seeing right now that of the manufacturing plants in the automotive industry especially, the UAW has now showed up with an absolute intent to unionize Alabama's non-unionized plants. One of which is Mercedes, which was the flagship. And Mercedes has got a vote scheduled. They have to, because they had a certain number of cards signed. So there's a vote scheduled coming up pretty soon. Talks are even ongoing about doing it at the Hyundai plant. So let me ask your thoughts on this. Good or bad? What do you think? Lee, you first.
I'm not a union person, so I'm going to say no. This is a bad thing, and mainly because unions usually just drive up the cost of everything, and sometimes to the point, as you know, in Gadsden, of plants closing down. And I think we, in Alabama, we're a much more at-will sort of workplace. You do what you do. You don't like it, go somewhere else. And I think that the time for unions kind of has come and gone. And at this point, people can negotiate their own pay rates. They can negotiate a lot of things, and I just don't see the need for them. I think they cost too much money.
Okay, fair and even. What do you think, there, Butters?
I agree with Lee.
No, is that where we stop?
No.
Ditto.
So it's I was reading an article on this earlier, and one of the arguments was this idea that, oh, well, the Mercedes cost X, you know, everybody knows what the Mercedes purchases for. Why should somebody in Alabama make less than somebody somewhere else that's building the same car that sells for the same amount? Like, well, because they're in Alabama,
and the cost of living is lower.
Right. Like, so if that's the argument, then that's a very slippery slope. And yeah. I think, you know, I don't know all of the conditions, you know, I think to what Lee said, I definitely would side on there was a time in history.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But in the day of everybody knows what's going on, we've got, you know, social media and the ability to rally together in different ways and getting people informed about, you know, bad problems and bad workplaces. I just, that's scary.
The idea of collective bargaining certainly has its place, but I get it. I know why it's there, because the mass can then speak to the boss. But there are now laws in place that are in place now because the unions had to fight for them way back in the day. What do you need? Do you need OSHA protections? No, you've got OSHA protections. Do you need equal employment opportunities and non-discriminatory issues? Those are covered by the law. Do you need to know you've got limited work weeks and the ability to have time off? It's all covered in the law. If you don't get the health care benefits you want, you can go to the other place and get health care benefits you want. Not only that, but we have public health care now if you're that bad off. And so the reality is that I think that this is going to wind up being damaging to Alabama's ability to grow additional opportunities for our workforce.
Absolutely.
Just saying. All right. On a lighter note, I'm looking forward to this. You ready? Here, I'm going to lay it out for you like the beginning of a joke or something. Not a dad joke, though. So Trump and Biden both walk into a bar. What happens? And the follow-up to that is, does it matter what kind of bar it is? Butters, you like turned away from the microphone. What do you? Trump and Biden both walk into a bar. What happens?
Biden trips, gets lost. Trump buys everybody around.
I feel certain you're probably right.
What kind of bar? I don't know. That's a tough one, and I could go real deep on that. That's a really tough one to determine in this day and age.
All right, then I'll lay this out for you. They walk into a biker bar. What happens?
Trump ends up probably with a new motorcycle and a lot of good friends. I'll leave it at that.
They walk into a gay bar. What happens?
That could go either way, I think, in the modern world, because there's a lot of people that are just fed up.
They walk into Cheers, like on the TV show. What happens?
They all shout Trump.
All right, Norm. What a great segue. Over to you, Lee. So Trump and Biden both walk into a bar at the same time. What happens?
The bartender looks up and goes, somebody help him. The senior center, sir, two doors down. That's Biden. Trump walks in and the whole place explodes. Just like, have you ever seen it where he walks into an MMA? Or like MMA, like he'll walk into an MMA round or a boxing round or something. The place just explodes and goes crazy. Everybody's yelling and hollering. That's what would happen. And then he would buy everybody around. And I think even at a gay bar, he walks in, they might look at him and be like, what is he wearing? But then he buys everybody around and they're all happy. I think that's the way it happens every time. And Biden walks into the gay bar and they're going to be like, who let their grandpa out? You know, so that's about it.
Biden walks into a gay bar and they go, can you please get rid of Karine Jean-Pierre? She's really bad for our image. That's what's going to happen. All right, so he walks into a biker bar. Both of them walk into a biker bar. What happens?
Trump makes friends and rides off, on one of the bikes. And they're all trailing behind him with Trump flags. And Biden walks into the biker bar, and it gets real quiet, and you can hear crickets, and somebody's cigarette falls out of their mouth, and then they go, who the heck is that?
So did y'all happen to see the reason what inspired this question? Did y'all happen to see that in the last, I guess, 10 days, both of them have made impromptu appearances at fast food restaurants and the comparison between how it went? Have y'all seen that?
I've heard something about it.
Oh, the Chick-fil-A one. I saw that with Trump. Did Biden like go get ice cream or something?
So you're right. So Trump walked into a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, I believe, which is a hotbed of Democrat votes. And he walks in, and the grouping of people in the restaurant, I think they were largely black. And he walks in unannounced. The crowd went crazy. The workers stopped everything they were doing. Everybody lined up at the counter wanting to talk to him. Black women were running around and hugging his neck and saying, "You're so wonderful." He bought everybody milkshakes, everybody in the whole place, and all of his own crew milkshakes, and I think a chicken sandwich.
And their machine was working? Holy cow.
It's Chick-fil-A.
Come on.
Don't blaspheme the spirit there.
Biden walked into some fast food place, I think yesterday. And I got this secondhand from Charlene who saw it. I haven't seen it because I was in court all day yesterday. But walks into a fast food place, and it was like crickets. It was like Dullsville. And there was like nobody really saying much. And then he kind of stood there, and then somebody tried to walk over to him, and one of the Secret Service detail shouted at him to get back. So it's like Trump's getting hugs and buying milkshakes and slapping backs and telling stories and telling what a great job they do and bragging on Chick-fil-A while he's there about what a great organization. Biden walks in, no one knows what to say, and the only people who want to approach are told to back off. So there you have it. There you have it. All right. There we've covered. I'm sure, by the way, I'm probably going to get some text messages. Oh, in fact, just so you know, Ron from Tuscumbia just texted in and said Biden would get duct taped to a tree in a biker bar.
Yeah, I want to hear from the bikers. That's what I want to hear from.
I'm pretty sure we're going to get a few text messages about what happens when these folks walk into a bar. But you know what though, that is also a classic indication of the populist view of the two candidates. Did Biden get a whole lot of votes last time? Allegedly. Did Trump have a true popular vote? Yeah, he really did. All right. Is that already over? Is round one already over? All right. Round one of Butters and Lee is already behind us. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. This is where we flip the script, and they ask me questions, and I just hold my breath and wait to see what happens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll see if Lee dies to filibuster today. Whoop, whoop. All right, we'll be right back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like using common sense like a superpower. Going back to round two of Butters and Lee. All right, we got this is the time of the Butters and Lee segment where y'all just ask me questions and see how I do. So I'll go Lee first. What you got?
So I noticed that Trump was required to be at his current trial each day.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is multifaceted. I didn't realize they could require you to be there. Is he going to have to, like, can all of them, all these upcoming trials require him to be there? And if so, isn't it just obvious they're trying to prevent him from campaigning?
Yeah, they are. And what's really interesting about that, I saw this morning that yes, he is pretty much not able to get that. Now, he can go out of town at night and fly back. I mean, a billionaire has his own plane, but it still makes it very difficult. And it makes for, you know, the idea of him coming to court the next morning just, you know, with no sleep. But what it's doing, though, is it's making him get out and do a lot of retail politics in New York City. And yesterday he went to, remember last year, Lee, that bodega where the older gentleman was just working his little bodega, and he had a guy come in and start beating him up, and he actually had to stab the guy to save his own life. And the DA,
yeah,
the same DA, Alvin Bragg, tried to bring him up on murder charges, but the outcry was so huge,
yeah,
that, okay. Anyway, that bodega, Trump went there yesterday. And the crowds,
no,
yes,
that's
he did.
So awesome.
He went to that bodega yesterday to see the staff, and the crowd went bananas. And the crowd was largely Black and Hispanic, and they were all yelling, "We love Trump," and New York City, and he was making promises about how we're going to clean this place up, and people are like, yeah, we want you back. So so it's having an impact, but I don't think it's all the impact they want it to have. So there.
Oh, it's always – they don't know what makes them stumble. Every time they do something, it backfires. It just does. But my question legally is, can each of these judges force that? Does it depend on what kind of trial it is? Does it? Because this is like hush money. This isn't a big deal.
Well, every state law is going to be different, but I would imagine that it's roughly the same. And that's in a civil case, if you don't show up for your own trial, then default can be declared against you right there on the site upon motion of the other party. So you want to be present. And then the other is that in a criminal trial, yes, you do have to be there to face your accusers, or you could lose your right of appeal if you're not there. So you're gonna wind up having to be present. And yes, that is part of their plan, I believe. All right, let me jump over here. What you got for me, bro?
Lee, were you just calling in for free legal advice? Is that
Lee? I'm sorry, you'll have to be present. That's awful. All right, what you got for me, man?
All right, so coming off a trip to D.C.
Yes, indeed.
You know, a couple hundred kids. It was a great trip, don't get me wrong, and made me very proud of this area. You know, it definitely makes you realize and think about the history of this nation, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a good reason to go to D.C.
Yeah.
One thing that kind of jumped out at me, you know, predominantly conservative bunch of kids on the bus. We're going to take the quintessential photo at the White House. And one of the kids is like, boo, you know, it just kind of struck me of like, I get it. She, you know, she's making a comment about the President Biden and her political leanings. But it kind of got to the point, and maybe I was wrong. But kind of going, hey, you know, this is about the house, the history, the what makes America America, and you know, where do we stand as a nation with respect to the things that make the institutions that are ours? And I made a comment to her. I was like, it's not his house, it's ours. You're here,
wow,
you know,
comment.
And
yeah.
You know, I just what. Just made me really think deeply on.
So you want me to genuflect on that for a moment?
Yeah, where do we stand on reverence to the, you know, the institutions? I mean, we're kind of making a mockery of the judicial system with all this stuff. So
interesting thing. Several pieces in that little story you just told me. So on the one hand, interesting to see a high school student who has enough of an opinion to want to boo at what she perceived to be Biden's house. So that's interesting, And I'm glad to hear there's somebody that young who has any opinion at all about stuff like that. However, you're right. She was misguided. I remember that scene from the end of Band of Brothers when Captain Sobel came walking by, and now it was Major Dick Winters, who used to be his abused lieutenant when Captain Sobel had command of the company. And Sobel saw him and tried to walk by just without making any sign. And Winters stopped him and said, "Captain Sobel." And he turned around and said, "Sir." He said, "You salute the rank, not the man." One of the best lines. I mean, there were so many good scenes in that miniseries, but that one of the best lines of all. "You salute the rank, not the man." That's the way I feel about the White House, same as what you just said. I am not a fan of Joe Biden. I will talk about him on the show every single day, and I pretty much do. But if he were to walk in the room right now, I would call him Mr. President. And if he would walk in the room right now, I would not be rude, but I would professionally disagree. And that's the difference. And people don't realize that White House, like you said, is our house, and he will be gone. And I'm hoping he's gone like real soon. But the Capitol building, I mean, when I walk, I love D.C. When I go around and when I worked at the Pentagon, I used to literally take a day, like on a Saturday, and I would just go walk D.C. I can't tell you how many shoes I probably wore out. All I wanted to do was see everything. And you couldn't always see everything, because every corner had a piece of us attached to it, our history. So, good on you for squaring that away. Lee, you want to chime in on that at all? Or tell us another dad joke?
If Biden came in the room, I would call him Mr. President too, but I would say, do not sniff me.
Well, he only sniffs children, so you're probably fine. That's awful. All right. Hey, by the way, we had Jason from Meridianville said, "Yeah, I'm a biker, and Biden wouldn't dare step in our bar." All right, you guys. Love you both. Coming up next, Jeff Poor will be on doing a little batch of home fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.